Paul Nobles from Eat Perform, and today we have a special guest today, which is Crystal. Crystal's one of the top coaches here at Eat Perform, and she's been with us for quite some time, and so she is our Becky replacement for the day. And you've probably seen her in files because so there's kind of Becky, and then Crystal is sort of Becky adjacent, right? So most people know Crystal within the Eat Perform community. So welcome, Crystal. Happy to have you. And make sure that you're putting any questions within the chat so that we can get to any questions. We are going to run through what the goal should be for fat loss going into September, because September is a big time for people that have overdone the summer, me being one of them. So I'm still trying to figure out whether or not I want to, or whether or not I can. There's a part of me that's, this is kind of interesting. I don't think people realize that I was 255 plus at one point, you know? So like me being, you know, approaching 200 or something like that. One of the things that most people don't know related to health and fitness is that as you're just naturally bigger and you start to work out, you will kind of go from that place where, you know, I mean, I can already, like right now, I can see, you know, around my face a little bit more than normal, things of that nature. But it doesn't, you know, like it's kind of weird because how much does that weigh on you? Right, mentally, it doesn't weigh on me mentally, right? Because, like, you know, right now, as an example, this might just be like a bad angle for a photo or something of this nature. And so, I think what happens is that people become obsessed, and you know, in the last podcast, which was a bit disjointed, so we're not going to publish it, but we talked a lot about this, right? Where, you know, it's our mentality that often makes this process more difficult, but mostly the people around you, they're supportive. They don't notice really any difference, you know, especially a spouse that is with you every single day, right? And so I think a lot of it is just kind of settling in, where you're doing mostly the right thing most of the time, and then not overreacting to any one day where you're kind of feeling a little low or something of that nature, right? And so that's a bit of the discussion as we sort of walk into how things are going. But what I don't understand, right, especially if you're kind of new, now this is Lifetime, so we're going to be having a little bit more of the advanced topic as it relates to this, but let me, it's common for lifers to come back, right? And the issue when lifers come back is that, by the way, please don't unmute yourself, use chat for questions, because this is, you know, in theory going to be a podcast. In theory, the last one was going to be a podcast, but the questions and stuff just got a little choppy. But if I were coming back, right, one of the things that I would probably do, you know, so for those that don't know, you can buy a lifetime membership once you're a member and you can come back. And this happens often, especially in, you know, September, in January, some of the months that, you know, July is weirdly a big one, right? Because people get to a point with July where They're like, well, you know, I got to do something. I just can't go all the way through summer. In my mind, in all of those situations, it would be much more beneficial to start logging your food, you know. And the problem with logging your food at that point is that we naturally make adjustments rather than, you know, logging all the Dairy Queen or log, you know. And yes, you know, you are very likely to lose weight if you were overconsuming. But a lot of the times, people weren't overconsuming near as much as they think, right? And so let's say that, you know, you're probably averaging somewhere between 1800 and 1900, and then you have a few moments where weekends get out of control and, you know, weight goes up 8 to 10 pounds. In my mind, it would be much better off to just proactively log your food for 3 to 4 weeks if you can, you know, and then start from that spot, right? Because then you know, right? Then, you know, Crystal can look at your file and she can go, okay, Michelle started at, you know, 2400. We're gonna bring her down. But oftentimes people think they were overdoing it more than they were. And it's just better to know, right? It's just like if you think about it realistically, I was just having this conversation for the data analyst that works with Beachbody. And he was asking me, like, what do you do that's different? And I said, so basically, you know, somebody comes to us more often than not, we will start them off in a fat loss cycle because they kind of need to know, right? That whether you think you do or you don't, you know, the great majority of people kind of need to know, right? That they can't lose weight. So then they start 3 weeks in, and then they find out, yes, I was under eating, or yes, I was not, and then we move them to PR. It's very rare that someone understands that. And then I'm looking, you know, at least one or two people that actually did start in PR. And then if you start in PR, now you're kind of wondering, okay, you know, is now fat loss time? Is now fat loss time? Right. And so prematurely, we end up moving you to fat loss because you didn't really see that fat loss would have been ineffective, right? And then we might be able to move things, you know, move the needle fairly good. If you're frustrated and you know you lose 6 to 8 pounds, that might be great. But we also could have found that, you know, we lost 12 to 14 if we were able to keep you in the fat loss a little bit longer, right? So or keep you in PR for a little bit longer. So those things are important, right? So even though, you know, my weight is up and things of this nature, and I think most people know this. If you don't know this, I don't log the great majority of the time. You know, once I get to like 3,000, 3,500 calories, I stop logging. I eat intuitively, which I think is kind of the progression, the way that the program I always envisioned it to be, right? Is not this rigid program where you're logging your calories at 4,000 calories. You don't need to log your 4,000 calories. Just check your scale. And if, you know, things are working comfortably, then just kind of continue on the path that you're on. Which brings me to a point that I think is sort of interesting. And I'm just going to take a sip of coffee here. Because goodness knows I can't talk this fast without some elixir. But your body is programmed to grow, right? In virtually every instance. And so, we see this, you know, with people that, you know, come to us and they start to struggle or weight starts to go up, even at like the lowest calories, right? Because what happens is a process called homeostasis, which creates balance wherever you are within your body, right? And what we know is that because of homeostasis, your metabolism drastically decreases. I actually wrote an article about this week where there were bodybuilders that kind of just did their own test. And within, I would say, I think it was 2 weeks that they went back. They started at 4,000 metabolism, and then within 2 weeks they were at 2,000 metabolism. So just that taking away the food is that impactful, right? And then it just continues to decrease as you go, which is why you see any deviation from the plan when somebody's at 11 to 1200. Always seem like, well, now we're just packing on the pounds, right? Because you've established a new floor, right? So your new floor is 1100. So you have a weekend and you just had, you know, one or two drinks. And now all of a sudden your body sees that as an opportunity for storage. When your calories are at 2300, 2500, or you know, I always leave out the men because we have so few men within each form. But when you're at 3,500 and you're able to stay weight stable or relatively so, right? Like even in my instance, you know, I think one of the things that I've sort of figured out is I'm a 190-pound man, you know, which by the way, you know, I mean, I know I don't think there's one guy on the phone call, right? But as a man, like, you're like, yes, you know. I mean, I graduated high school at 130 pounds, right? I looked like I was 13 years old, you know? And so to me, growing and having muscle on my frame and things of this nature. Now, if I wanted to get really super lean, probably 170, 175 maybe. I just don't have any interest in that. You know, I think at some point, you know, my wife has this great saying, and she started it when she was 50. She's like, I'm 50 years old for Christ's sake. Right. It works for like virtually anything. Right. It's like, are you going to go to this thing that you don't want to go to? And she's like, well, I'm 50 years old for Christ's sake. I have the option not to. Right. And so that to me is sort of a mantra for life, is that I don't want to spend the rest of my life, you know, being miserable because it fills some kind of hole in my soul. You know, we talked about it in the last podcast, so I'll bring it up now. But, you know, there was a person that mentioned that in fat loss, they feel more comfortable. And I mentioned to that person that that sounds like an abusive relationship, right? Because if you think about it, if the only way that you can be comfortable is to be miserable, struggling and starving, where your workouts aren't great, you're cranky all the time, like that's not a great place to be, you know? And so, you know, to her credit, she was like, wow, I never thought of it like that. And I don't think most people think of it like that. You know, I think a lot of people right now are taking these weight loss medications thinking to themselves, you know, wow, this is great. And I don't care that I'm throwing up in the middle of the night, or I don't care that, you know, I'm at risk for a thyroid cancer or all the different things that can are side effects of those drugs. Right. And I'm fine with those medications, because I think that it does make dieting a little bit easier, but there are consequences to that and people aren't paying close attention to that, but they will. And I'll tell you when they will. They're going to pay attention to it 2 to 3 years from now when they did not have support and they used it for eating less pizza and they went back to all of the habits and behaviors that they did before, right? And so at that point, we'll start to see all those people go, I don't understand. And once again, it's this diet industry that has this thought process that is always thinking from 1100 calories or 1700 calories for men, right? It's the reality is it's that 4000 calories for men, 2500 to 2700 for women that makes all the difference, because it's that part of your life where you're living in an abundant life. And as a man, like I said, you know, you can look in the mirror and go, well, you know, my arms are bigger, my chest is bigger, all these different things. It was kind of funny. I was, you know, I had a wedding, and this was in June, and I'm at Nordstrom's, and I'm putting on the jacket, this jacket, which was a really nice jacket. I don't know if you've seen a picture of it, but I love it. And I get compliments on it every time I wear it. But I was like, is there any way we could do anything about this kind of lapels bulging a little bit? And she says, well, you really can't do anything. It's just because your chest is so broad. And I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely getting that one. You know, and it was just so funny because she actually, same thing with the shirt that I bought, the pants that I bought. She's like, well, you don't really want, you know, pants that are baggy because they don't really show off your, you know, backside, you know. And I was like, are there other ones that show off my backside better? Right. So like, she was just milking me for every dollar possible. And it was just funny because, like, you know, I think that a lot of us don't value what we look like with a little bit more muscle on our frame because we're just focused on the fat. And you know, whether you're going to be like me or not, I have a sister-in-law who's almost 80 years old, and I have multiple sister-in-laws, and they think about dieting all the time, right? And it's not like they don't know me, you know what I mean? It's not like they don't know either form. They just feel like, you know, and all of these people are active. So it's not like they wouldn't have the same ability as all of you have, but they just live in that, you know, hate mindset of a little bit more fat or a little bit without ever really focusing. You know, I have one, you know, they're all really interested in, like, how can I increase my metabolism? Oh, well, let me tell you how you can increase your metabolism. You, the more protein you eat, the thermic food effect is much higher. Well, yeah, but I only really eat 60 grams of protein because that's what, you know, the guidelines say. And I said, well, you asked me what foods you could eat to increase your metabolism, and I just told you. And then now you're like, well, that's not a good enough answer. I was like, but is it a true answer? That's the question, right? And the simple fact is, it is a true answer, right? And so most people are not, I mean, think about, not only is the thermic effect of food healthy for your metabolism, but it also allows you to hold on to more muscle, more tendons, more ligaments, all the things that stop you from aging, you know. And I mean, to my wife's family's credit, you know, so I'm from the South, I'm from New Orleans, and I have a lot of family members that die in their 60s. So up here, you know, my family members are healthier and they die in their 80s. But, you know, I don't know what it's like. I know that I'll be 55 within a few days. I know that being 55, I already feel it. I already feel aging. I hurt. You know, played 3 hours of pickleball last night. Every part of my body hurts. I'm like, how do my abs hurt? It doesn't even make any sense, you know? And so what my wife and I have talked a lot about is accepting the aging and being okay with the fact that, I mean, we all see it. I don't have any look, I'm open to virtually anything, but you see a lot of people working towards plastic surgery before they look towards fitness, right? You see a lot of people taking medication before they just were hungry a little bit, right? And it's just like, is that the truest path, right? Or, I was thinking about this. There's a guy named Scott Galloway who does a podcast. It's like a tech investor podcast, but he's on TV a lot. And, he is always talking about Peloton. He's also big into CrossFit. But he's always talking about Peloton and how somebody should buy Peloton, and Peloton is such a great value, and things of this nature. And if in the right hands, if Apple were to buy it, Nike were to buy it, whatever, there'd be just all these people that we rush towards Peloton. And he is so wrong. He could not be more wrong. Because the average person doesn't give a shit about fitness. Right? Like when I'm doing this Project Greatness thing on the main page, and I think people are gonna start to see it, right? Because like Crystal and myself, and we actually do this shit, right? This is real for us. This is our life, But the average person does not, pay attention to their fitness and great. They might get in some steps, right? And they might see that as a path of fitness. And don't get me wrong, I've always said that, like, the people that started Fitbit, they deserve the Nobel Peace Prize, right? For science, because that was a fundamental change. People did not have the awareness of that, even though pedometers did exist. It's just they put it in a way that allowed people to be much more conscious. So steps is important. But steps don't put muscle on you, don't keep muscle on you, So like, why is this guy obsessed with Peloton? And why are celebrities obsessed with the way that they look, or detoxes, or all the shit that they put out there? It's because they're obsessed about their appearance, because they're in front of the camera all the time, right? And could you imagine? So imagine the way that all of us feel. Because it's not like I don't, it's not like I'm not looking in the mirror and go, eh, my face is a little chubby right now. I see it. It's not like I don't, And I can logically have the discussion with myself and go, okay, it's time to do something about it, or let's do these processes that I have in place now that I didn't have in place 15 years ago. But 15 years ago, Paul, I was the guy joking, no one pulls a hamstring on the couch, that kind of thing, right? Because it just made me feel more comfortable with myself, to let people know, not only do I not am I not going to be fit, but I'm going to make jokes about it, right? I'm going to give you the middle finger. And at some point you just go, okay, but I'm going to die doing this, right? And so the average person that will not, pursue resistance training or anything like that, you're way ahead of wherever any of those people are. But we're the minority, right? And so when you look at a celebrity and the extreme things that they're doing, whether it be, surgery, whether it be Ozempic, whether it be, and the funny thing about Ozempic is that people keep talking to me about Ozempic. I was in a meeting this week with engineers, and one of the guys was asking me all kinds of questions about Ozempic. And I'm like, the great majority of people are actually not using Ozempic. They're using basically what are versions of Wegovy. Ozempic is sort of a light version. When you look at Eat to Perform Health as an example, you can actually talk to your doctors about getting doses closer to where Wegovy is. And the reason why you would want to do that, because you don't want to be on this ship forever, right? The whole idea is to get in and get out, right? And I think a lot of people are using Ozempic because they heard the brand name. And, you know, if they were eating like an idiot and they stop eating like an idiot, right, which that's what it does, it helps you with your hunger, you're going to lose weight. But you would have lost weight if you just lowered calories anyway, right? And so, you know, I had a friend of mine who was on Ozempic. I actually wrote about, you know, his experience and how he got off of it because he had some issues and stuff like this. But he, like, I don't know if it was his friend or wife, I can't remember at the time, but they were also doing it, and they were not getting the results that he got because they were just kind of keeping the habits that they had previous to that, and he was doing Eat to Perform, right? So he had the deficit the way that we do it, and you know, it real all the magic of these things is simply that you're eating less, you know. Can it make dieting a little bit? Yes. Are there risks? Yes, there are, you know, but you know, if you're someone that has struggled with dieting and you're obese and it's affecting your health negatively and you've literally tried everything. And when people say they tried everything, I do believe them, by the way. Right? Like a lot of people are like, have you though? It's like, what a dickish thing to say to people, right? Because they do believe that they have tried everything. And I know that for myself, that I have a work capacity that I know I can go to now that I did not know. So if you ask me if I tried everything, I'd be like, yeah, you know, I worked out. You know, I ate less. I tried all these different things, you know, and none of them work. And you know what happened when I started working out 2 to 3 days a week, and when I started eating higher quality foods, and when I, you know, there were so many phases of that journey that ultimately ended up being pieces of what is Eat to Perform now, right? But I wasn't lying. I did try what I thought was, I thought I exhausted every option. What I didn't realize was that this panacea of options out there, right, that my body just didn't know or couldn't do, right? Or, you know, like when you're at my, so I've talked about this before, where I'd already lost 70 pounds, something of that nature. And the I went got body tested for the body fat tested for the first time, and I was still 32% body fat, right? And eventually it got to the point with reduction where I could not make any more progress. And so that point was at about 21%, 20%. I just got stuck there for like 3 to 6 months. And I was scared to weight lift. You know, I remember deadlifting 135 pounds and my trainer being like, okay, we're just going to try and keep you safe here. I didn't need to be safe. I went to start training with an Army Ranger, and he trained me like he trained his Army Rangers. And within a year and a half, I was deadlifting 500 pounds. That's the difference. That's the difference between thinking you tried everything and actually trying everything, right? Like people think they're making this big decision, getting a facelift or you know, using Ozempic or whatever. And it's like, you just don't know what you know until you get to that place. And so that's where I think it's kind of different. So we'll get into a little bit more of the topic specifically, but Crystal, can you read me the question so I can actually cough for a second here?
We don't have any questions currently, but Terry Abramson said, I tried everything except for eating more until ETP.
Once again, that would be something that nobody considers, right? Like, think about it, for Terry. And then I don't know if it's Hania or Hania, or I don't know how to pronounce the name, but like, how many other channels were saying to you, you know what? It could be the fact that you're eating less all the time, or it could be the fact that you're eating less most of the time. Like, how many people think they have a weekend problem? Just like Tania with an H. So I don't know if it's Tania or Tania, but I think it's Tania or Hania, sorry. But like, think about it. A lot of people think they have a weekend problem, right? Because on the weekends, they consume the majority of the calories. And then on the weekdays, they can control their calories more. Well, if on the weekdays that you're controlling your calories, you're just dieting, and then you stop dieting, you know, well, then, yeah, it's going to seem like your weekends are the problem. But what if, you know, your weekends were 2,500 calories and your weekdays were also 2,500 calories, right? And then because of that, your energy was higher, your sleep was better, your workouts were better, right? So, like, how many times was I dieting and thought I was failing, but in reality, you know, I wasn't pursuing fitness. I was pursuing a deficit. And you know, just to be clear, dieting is the most effective way to lose fat, right? Like, you trying to lose fat in the gym is not the way you should be using gym, right? Now, I will say, if you're like me, so right now, I have to do the math, but I think it's right at 170 pounds of lean mass. So when I went and got body fat tested, I mean, I remember this number. It's like ingrained into my forehead, right? 32%, 128 pounds of lean mass. Like, okay, so now, if you know that I have 170 pounds of lean mass, that tells a big story, right? Like, I was talking to a guy last night. This is actually funny. I'll tell you guys. This is pretty funny. So this guy is a fairly wealthy guy, right? And he had a Bentley, and now he has a Lamborghini, which is sort of funny. I mean, he has other cars, right? So he has an Escalade for the winter here in Minnesota. But you know, he drives up in this Skittles green Lamborghini, and he parks up front. But he parks so close to the up front that it's right next to the handicap spot. And I know there's only two people that I play pickleball with. You know, there's like 25 of us, but I know of those two, you know, one drives a Ferrari and the other one drives either a Bentley or this Lamborghini. And so I go, okay, which one of you idiots parked in the handicap spot? I mean, dude lost his mind because he just bought this Lamborghini and he's like panicked. Because it's the middle of the pickleball game. And he thinks, I was like, yo, dude, I'm just kidding. And he's like, you got me. You got me on that one. But yeah, it was just kind of a funny moment. But he and I were talking, and he was talking about why he's not leaner. He's like, I literally play pickleball every single day. And I was like, well, the reason why you're not leaner is because you don't lift no weights, dude. I was like, you're a smaller guy, right? So he's probably 160 pounds. So he's a smaller frame guy in general, right? I was like, you have two options. I was like, you can go to 128, you know, and look like a little boy, or you can get in the gym. We can work on some pull-ups. We can work, you know, I was like, but I guarantee you right now that I could put 15 pounds on your frame. And he's like, well, my doctor's, you know, kind of deciding whether or not I should be on testosterone. I was like, are you going to lift weights or are you going to play pickleball? I was like, because if you're just going to play pickleball, don't get on testosterone. There's just no point. You know, I was like, you have to lift weights in that instance, you know, to really see the benefit. And so, you know, I would say for my muscle, the great majority of it was like newbie gains. I just never had worked out before, you know. So I put on like 10 pounds of muscle. You know, what was funny about getting to that 500 pound deadlift is that I probably only had 140 pounds of lean mass at that point. You know, I if I were to, you know, really push it right now with 30 pounds of more of lean mass, there's no telling what I could get to, but I'm also not dying to, like, you know, snap my back in half. Which, you know, I'm sort of joking about that, you know. As you age, you know, you just have a lot more muscle. Like I was listening to this podcast with Jim Windler, and he was talking about this. And any of you ladies on HRT, you should know this as well, that through Eat to Perform Health, you don't need to lift as many weights as your 20-year-old counterpart, because you likely have more lean mass than they have at your age. And so, or your body sort of knows the lean mass, right? So there is kind of this muscle memory that it has that will allow you to kind of get to that place. So the great majority of you wondering whether or not you have to, you know, inject yourself with a bunch of stuff that makes you feel 20 years old, you don't have to go that far. And I've talked about this before. It's like when you start to get on hormones, the goal isn't to go back to 20. The goal is to stay at 40, right? Or 50 or wherever it is you're kind of trying to put a pin in, you know, because, you know, the way that it starts is most people go, well, I, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, I feel about a 4. You're not going to get back to 10, right? Without putting your health at risk, you know, with a lot of things that, you know, are marginal. Most people that are taking HRT or TRT, they are, you know, they're just trying to hold off the tsunami, right? It's sort of like what I was talking about with my 80-year-old sister-in-laws, you know, is they would be in a much better place if there was some resistance training. Not, doesn't have to be a lot of resistance training, just something to kind of keep the muscle that you have. But if you go down to zero, you know, you're basically just allowing your muscles to waste away, your tendons and ligaments to waste away, and no amount of glucosamine is going to fix that, right? Especially not if you're doing no resistance training. But you don't have to lift as much. That's the point, right? You already have that muscle, you know. So me having 170 and only having 128, you know, literally 15 years ago, I've done so much for longevity of life that it's a major difference. And many of you that are now eating more majority of the time, you're going to see a similar result as well. So, Crystal, let's get into some of the conversation. Then we'll kind of put a pin in, you know, it's not going to take me long to explain to people sort of the best way to do things. But I did talk a little bit earlier, if you're coming back, there's no point in not just going into PR for 3 to 4 weeks so we can establish a real number. That's number one.
Okay, so Jen's question, do you need to run a fat loss phase or can you just stay at maintenance if training is going well?
So what is the goal? I mean, that's what we need to know. But just so you know, we don't believe in maintenance. You know, maintenance to me is a self-limiting idea, because all that ends up happening is that you get to like 1500, 1600 calories. Like, that would be helpful to know. What's your calories right now? So Jen is, So 2,300. Okay, so that's not me. So that's where you want to be. That's maybe a little bit of a surplus. You're kind of getting, that's what people's maintenance is, right? It's not 1,500 to 1,600 like most of your friends think. Did she mention what the goal is right now? Is she trying to lose weight?
I think her goal is, well, if she's training, then yes, the normalized calories is where you want to be if you want to.
Yes.
That is what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Add muscle, okay. Not lose weight. So yes.
Okay, you mute because there's something going on in the background. But so I mean, yeah, if the goal is to add muscle, the only way you do that is like chipping at the rock over time. You know, muscle doesn't happen, you know, I mean, certainly, you know, if you're new to training and things of this nature, or, you know, like in my case with the testosterone, it allowed me to go from 160 to 170. But, you know, you just have to chisel at the thing to build muscle. So, you know, at 2,300, I mean, can you build to 2,500, 2,600, maybe have a little bit more of a surplus so that that's the key to muscle, right? The key to muscle is that you need to have a little bit of a surplus, right? Now, if you really wanted to put on muscle, I know you probably don't want to do this, and I wouldn't suggest that you should, but if you really wanted to put on muscle, you would start eating 3,000 calories. Right? Because that's going to allow you to be in a true surplus. You're just kind of nibbling at things right now, which is fine. That's what recomp is, right? But it can also be frustrating because even though you're saying like, I want to stay in maintenance. So at your height and your weight, well, I mean, at your height, so you're the same height as my wife, right? My wife has a lot of muscle, right? So my wife is much, bigger than you are as a person, but she has a lot more muscle, right? And so for you to, let's say, be okay with going to 120, you know, you probably would need to get to somewhere in the neighborhood of you know, 2,800 to 3,000, right? It just sort of depends on what your goals are. But if you're doing a lot of cardio, once again, if you're doing a lot of cardio, that's just a reason to really ramp up those calories, right? Because what happens for a lot of people is they start to use cardio to burn calories. And what we're trying to do here is use those calories to add to your muscle mass and things of that nature. So those are thoughts, but no, like what I don't necessarily understand, and I'm not saying this in relationship to you, but we're literally called eat to perform, right? And so really what we're talking about is the process that is complicated. That is, you do need help with. It does need to be customized, right? Because there's so many questions like what you're asking right there. It's like, well, can I just stay, you know? Now, if you've convinced yourself then that 2,300 calories is your maintenance, well, then it is, right? Because like once you get to a point where your mindset is, well, I can't do anymore, you know, you can't. Right. There was like a thing I brought up the other day. It's like can't doesn't mean can't. In the great majority, it means won't. Right. And so what you'll have to ask yourself is, you know, how much do I really want muscle? Right. And the reality is if you're 112, 5'2", there's probably a lot of cardio. Maybe that's your genetics. A lot of these things, when you're trying to go against your genetics, it's going to take a lot of effort, right? I mean, I'm naturally probably, I want to say 170, you know? So it took a bit for me to kind of change those genetics. Now, if you will look at every member of my family, you would go, your genetics are 220 pounds, right? But we got to remember, our body wants us to grow at every stage because that's the way it saves us from us, right? And if you knew that your body wants to grow and you were pounding Mountain Dews and cheesecake, you know, you would know you'd be at great risk, right? This isn't the scenario that each performers have, right? And so we don't get a lot of Mountain Dew and cheesecake pounders, right? And so like, if we did, we could point to all of them and go, look, we had this discussion on the last podcast where, you know, Post Malone mentioning he lost 60 pounds because he stopped drinking sugary sodas. And like, you know, I did the math, you know, based on the time frame that he lost the weight, and he would have had to be drinking anywhere from 8 to 10 sodas a day, right? That's not a nutrition problem. That's a intelligence problem, right? And that's the kind of thing that people go, well, I'm addicted to sugar. No, what you're addicted to is you're hungry and you're eating the wrong thing. Right. And so like, if I don't know if you know this, but like performers burn a ton of calories, right? Being on that stage 2-3 hours. And oftentimes, I mean, I would go, we used to do our staff meetings at a local restaurant that was very popular with athletes. And man, you know, we would show up at that place, you know, and at 9-10 o'clock, you know, the athletes would come in and they would just order just all this food, right? And you know, it's just all these people are burning a lot of calories. In the case of the athletes, they understand like having excess calories in those moments is going to be prone to being used more correctly, where you're refilling glucose and or glycogen stores and things of that nature. So the big one is, if you can, if you're not logging, let's log, let's find out what it is, try and be honest, but let's be real, you're gonna naturally, you know, change. You're gonna go from potato chips to popcorn and you're gonna make all these adjustments. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to start losing weight, you know? And then if you were 8 pounds overweight and you lose 4 to 6, guess what's going to happen? You're going to go, I don't want to do fat loss, right? And that's sort of the point, you know, is that when you get to the point, which I think the goal always should be to get to your calories being high enough to where you can kind of try this on your own, you know, I think the great majority of people, when they do that, they have great success. And they don't think that they have great success because they gain 6 to 8 pounds. 6 to 8 pounds isn't that big a deal. Look, most people, when they do a diet cycle through Weight Watchers or Noom or something like this, they lose 20 to 30 pounds and they gain back 40. Like, you're not doing that, right? And so that puts you, once again, way above average. And that's why when I think of what we do, I think of greatness, right? Because that's the pursuit we're on. Above average is working towards better, which is working towards greatness, you know? And it feels to me like if I don't start to get that message out there, I'm doing a disservice to all of you, because the meal prep, the fitness, the doing things when you don't feel like doing it, Those are the habits of great people, right? And you need to know that what you're doing is difficult, right? Not the difficult of, oh, I just don't drink soda anymore, right? Like, that's not difficult. That's just, all that is stopping ignorance, right? And I mean ignorance in the definition, right? Like the actual, go to Webster, read the word ignorance, right? If you're going to try and stay ignorant, well then yeah, you're gonna gain weight drinking 9 to 10 sugary sodas each day, right? And so that's something that I think is important. So what does that mean? Well, what that means is that you might start fat loss in October, or you might not do fat loss, right? Because now all of a sudden you started to make better decisions. And instead of eating 3,000 calories, you're eating 2,300 calories. You lose 5 to 6 pounds and you were up 8. And you go, you know what? I'm okay being up 2-3 pounds. I wasn't okay being up 8. Once again, these are the habits of great people. This is how great people think, right? It's those small little things that you change that work towards the overall good. So now you have the option between September or October. I would argue that, you know, if you've been overdoing it a bit, and we already know so like, for instance, if you're going to start in September, which, by the way, you can start whenever you want. I'm just giving you suggestions on how you might do things. But if you're working with Crystal, as an example, and you've been giving her rainbow macros, why not give her greens for 3 weeks? You know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden you lose 5 to 6 pounds and then you don't have to go to fat loss. Or maybe we look at fat loss in January or something of that nature. So those are things I think we need to kind of consider as we're going, because if we can clean things up a little bit, a lot of the times we don't have to do that. And isn't the goal of all this to not be dieting all the time, right? That's the big goal, right? So now all of a sudden you're in October, the weight's still sticking around. You're doing your macros, you're giving Crystal greens. Now we run a 6 to 8 week cycle, likely a 6 week cycle, right? Just to be completely honest with you. But whether it's September or October, I would strongly suggest that you take the holidays off and then we start fat loss too in January. But the whole time, we're going to try and keep those habits that we're building in a surplus. And the reality is, and you all know this is true, is you don't take PR anywhere near as serious as you take fat loss. We need to stop that. We need to get to the place. And I need to stop it because I do that also, right? But I'm also not going in my file and Crystal and saying, this is so frustrating. I feel so bad about myself, right? It's like, I know, like, it's not a secret, right? If you're up 8 pounds, you're not doing the things that you did in fat loss to lose that weight, right? Or to keep that off. While I said earlier that exercise isn't great for fat loss, it is great for keeping weight off, you know? So like when I think most people know that I've been struggling with an injury. And so that's why my weight is up. So am I going to move to, this is why I'm like, I don't know that I want to move to fat loss because my foot is better. And so I'm actually been able to manage it. Is it perfect? I do kind of think that I am going to be dealing with this for my entire life, right? So now it's going to be more about managing it. And it is going to be a little bit more about, maybe when, you know, I'm eating intuitively, I need to be a little bit smarter than I was, because when I could play pickleball for 5 to 6 days a week for 3 hours a day, I could eat a lot more flexibly, right? When I have to rest now and can only do 4 days, you know, then I need to be smart about that. So we really want to build up those macros. Whether you start in September and October over the holidays again, that's the one thing I think most of you do well. Would you agree with this, Crystal, that while people can get a little loose in AP, they do take AP a little bit more serious than they do PR because they know fat loss too is coming. Would you say that that's right?
I do. I think that the clients that come out of fat loss and that go into AP with the mindset of, okay, I'm not going to start eating all the things that I couldn't eat in fat loss. Instead, let's go ahead and continue to eat what I was eating in fat loss and just maybe up the quantities, then they do take AP a bit more serious.
Yeah. So Terry mentioned the pride of going through this very difficult process, right? And I think many of us, you know, kind of discount that pride and discount the value of all the things that you're doing on a daily basis. And what I love about Terry, Terry reminds me of a client we have named Jody, and Jody has been around, I want to say like 4 or 5 years. And it's so funny because when Jody first started, she was exactly like you. This was when I was coaching back in the Stone Ages. And Jody would message me every single day. You know, Jody would comment on every single thing. And the fact that Jody is no longer commenting, I think of Deb, I think of Rose. I can name all the people that, you know, it just so scary to change so much in such a little time, which is why that greatness project is so important. And if you aren't doing that, you really should be, because it's not these massive changes that make the big difference, right? It's the 1% changes over time, right? You change 1%. 365 days, you change your whole life, right? And so that's why I think that's really important. But what'll be the most fun for me, Terry, is when you get to this place where your brain is not fighting you every single day, where now this is your new reality. And you know, being comfortable with yourself, that's a tricky question, right? Because like I said, you know, I think Crystal will admit, I admit, Sarah talks about it a lot. We all have these thoughts. It's just you have them less and less, and then they spread out over time, and then you do the more correct thing most of the time. But I think the last part of this is one, take AP serious. Let's keep quality of foods. Let's make sure that protein, I think my thermic effect of food, you know, is what do foods look like? Well, we want protein. Protein's like a special macro, right? Only problem with protein is that if you request more protein from Crystal, do you now not want to eat those carbs? Or do you now not want to eat that fat? And now we're just under eating. So that's the thing we have to be careful about with protein, because it is sort of like this magic macro, right? So thermic effect of food, protein, 20 to 30%, carbohydrates, 5 to 10%. Okay, which ones are 10? The ones with fiber, the ones you don't want to eat, the ones that aren't potato chips, right? The ones that don't have fat in them, right? And so, you know, it's not the fun ones, right? Like protein, you know, is great, but it's not the fun protein, right? It's lean chicken, you know, like it's much easier as an example, you know, to eat a ribeye, but that ribeye is 50% fat. So therefore it stores as fat, you know? So instead of 30%, you know, thermic effect, it might be closer to 10 to 15% because fat basically stores as fat easiest. That's the funniest thing about like this whole low carb thing. And don't get me wrong, if you're in a deficit using low carb, you probably aren't storing fat, but it's so easy to be in a surplus once your calories get lower with fat, and fat stores easiest as fat. Fat, right? So, you know, that's sort of the basis for a lot of the low fat diets in the past, right? And once again, if you're under eating, you have to choose. If you're not under eating most of the time, you don't have to choose. You can eat in a much more balanced way, right? And so like you can kind of get lost in the thermic effect of food. And what if I could wave a magic wand and find the exact formula that would just make my metabolism great. Good luck with that, right? The great majority of us, we want to eat balanced meals. We want to eat food that we like, you know, things of this nature. So you want quality of food high, the great majority of the time, because lean meats and carbohydrates with fiber, those are high quality foods. You're not going to want to eat those foods all the time, right? So you have 80% of that, 20% of the stuff. Now, what does the 20% look like? Could the 20% look like potato chips? Maybe. Or it could look like fruit. Or it could look like, 85% dark chocolate, you know? And, this will be the last thing I say. So my cousin, who is visiting us right now, we had a family reunion, and he brought 85% dark chocolate, and nobody wanted it except me, which I like 85% dark chocolate. But I asked him, as he handed it over, I said, why didn't we just like make a dirt patty? It's kind of the same idea, right? And I mean, if you're eating chocolate with no sugar in it, it's strong, it does not taste like Hershey's, right? But when I talk about the thing that you should do before you jump into a fat loss phase, even though you're up 8 pounds, that'll be sort of the adjustments that I'll probably be making, right? Is that, instead of chocolate with sugar in it, I'll start to move to more darker chocolate. Instead of a potato chip, as an example, I'll move to popcorn, and of course these have lower calories, right? And so those are good options. So I just, from the standpoint of not being miserable for 3 months, let's see if you're up 8 pounds, let's see if we can get you to be only up 2 or 3, so that we can then decide whether or not how important this is really to you. Or is it just, if you were only up 2 or 3 pounds, would it really bother you? And my think is, for the great majority of you, the answer is going to be no. So appreciate everybody being here. Appreciate Crystal filling in on the weekend. And so we'll talk to all of you later, and goodbye.